Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You are in a great romantic relationship. Married or dating, everything is going your way. Then, boop, you're pregnant. And then the baby comes. How does the bundle of joy change things for you and your mate? Are you ready for that? Well, joining us to talk about this are Dr. Kia James. She's a licensed professional counselor and co-founder of the Relationship Boosters, and Monica Ward, licensed clinical social worker and also co-founder of the Relationship Boosters. This is a hot potato topic, but we are talking about it and we want to hear your experiences and your questions. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Yes. And I also want to say both of you are married with children, so this is not just your career, but this is your vocation. So you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, so the obvious question, if you are in a relationship, as I said, married or in a romantic relationship, should you expect a baby to change things? And if so, how? Mrs. Ward, I'll ask you first.
Well, I think that you should go into it with the idea that, you know, things are going to change. You're going to be bringing a life into your union. And it's going to be a child that you're going to have to mold and work together to raise. And nobody else can come into that because it's a job that both of you have to be responsible for. So there will be stress. You know, you will experience tensions and, you know, there will be, adjustments that will have to be made. So absolutely.
How soon will you feel the change when the baby comes?
Immediately.
You mean in the hospital?
In the hospital, it's really changed. Because now you have somebody else that you have to care for. The baby is going to be crying. There's going to be a lot of things that, you know, you didn't necessarily have to think about before. And now it's up to the two of you to respond. You know, they don't give you any manuals. The doctors say, here's your baby. And then they walk out the room and then there you are. So immediately you'll know that, okay, you know, we're going to have to do something different. Somebody's going to have to pacify the baby, calm the baby down. And, you know, you have to kind of figure out, like, how is this really going to work? But it's right away.
But doesn't this happen even as early as the pregnancy? Couples shouldn't expect that all of a sudden on the day the child is born that the change is happening when she's walking around and being uncomfortable and eating strange things. And isn't that when the change really happens in the relationship?
Yeah, you could definitely argue that because there's a lot of, even some of the men start eating more, like.
Really?
They gain weight as well, while the woman is pregnant. And so there's going to be a lot of transitions, especially if the woman is the one who's cleaning up, because there's a lot of cleaning products they can't utilize anymore. There's a lot of things they can't do anymore. So it is a joint process and, you know, it starts, like you said, you know, there are definitely changes before the baby is born.
Now, those changes, you spoke about changes as it relates to the children, the babies. But what about the relationship, particularly if you're really, really close and it's full of romance and everybody's lovey-dovey and because that's how it happened.
Right.
So what changes should couples expect in their relationship after the baby is born?
Well, there's definitely some adjustments that, you know, the woman is going to go through physically after having carried a child, and you go through all those changes carrying the child. You know, you may feel like you're more hungry, you're more tired, your back hurts, you know, a lot of things are going on. And then after you have the baby, there's that adjustment period. And so you do adjust to both you and your partner have to adjust to those physical aspects of healing after the baby's born. If you had a C-section, you have to take that into consideration. And the woman most likely will go through some feelings about, you know, how she's looking now. And, you know, maybe if she was thinner prior to having the baby, and it may be taking a longer time to lose the weight. Like, you go through all of these feelings about your body that may not be positive feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that does impact, too, how you feel in your relationship.
And that's the woman's perspective. But what about the man? Shouldn't he really be prepared for a change in the temperature of relating?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Because once the baby is born, the man is going to have to, and the woman, both of them have to realize that there's somebody else here that's going to take up a lot of our energy and a lot of our time. And what we see a lot of times is couples get caught up in caring for their baby, that they kind of lose that intimacy with one another. They're not focused on the relationship. And a lot of people will encourage you to make sure the baby is good, make sure everything is going okay with the baby, but they don't necessarily tell you that you need to continue to work on your relationship, because you can lose the intimacy and the connection that you have if you don't. Because you don't want to be that person who decides that you've prioritized the baby, you're not focused on your relationship anymore, and then when the children leave, you're looking at each other like, who in the world are you?
Excellent point. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about that new bundle of joy and how the new baby affects your relationship with your mate. My guests are Dr. Kia James. She is a licensed professional counselor, and Monica Ward, a licensed clinical social worker, both of them with the Relationship Boosters. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call, 202-319-7810. Sherry, calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I wanted to say that I definitely believe that a part of it also is communication, and communication prior to the baby even coming, right? So to make sure that we're both on the same accord as far as raising the child and what we expect in the relationship and how we communicate those differences. And because we were both raised differently in two different households, right? So a lot of times, if we don't have that open line of communication to understand how we're going to raise this child and what we expect and what does discipline look like and what does time look like for me and you, what is that going to look like now? You know what I mean? What is date night going to look like? And are we still going to have that? Who will we, you know, those types of things are we going to be able to have communication on?
Sherry, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sherry makes such a great point. When should you start having that conversation? Should you start having it as soon as she says, I have something to tell you?
Honestly, that conversation should have been had before you even decided that you were going to be together.
Really?
Because, you know, when you're thinking about building a family, you want to know that you guys are on the same page and that your communication is on point way before you get to the point of talking about we're having a baby. So, of course, you want to have the conversations about discipline. You want to have the conversations about what to expect, what your families think about having a new baby, what happened in your household. There's a lot of conversations that would lead up way before you get to that point. And they need to be ongoing because, you know, once the baby does come, there are changes. There's things that you may have never even anticipated. And so you do have to have ongoing conversations, open dialogue with one another. And so you have to make sure that you guys are both on point to feel comfortable talking with one another about everything.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about a new baby and what that means for a new parents, I should say. What impact does it have on your relationship? Robert calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Yes. One of the things that a lot of people don't talk about is when the woman goes through her postpartum depression. You know, and a lot of times there's a lack of education for men because they misunderstand it. They don't really understand what the postpartum depression is. And I have known many couples who have gone through really difficult times, even divorce, because of that. And I really, really think that that's the kind of thing that really needs to be have more attention.
Robert, thank you so much. And let's be clear, while this is a very serious issue, it doesn't happen with every woman. But to his point, what does that look like and how should that be addressed, particularly when you're talking about the relationship between the parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely, postpartum depression is very real. And you're absolutely right that people overlook it. They don't talk much about it. And the way that it looks is, you know, the woman starts feeling, you know, a lot more sad. They call it the baby blues. And mm-hmm. so they feel either a lot more sadder throughout the day. They may feel not as, you know, comfortable bonding with the baby. And they just feel very overwhelmed. Everything seems like it's just a despair and it's dark. And just there's really, you know, no hope that can come from, you know, having the baby, being, you know, you lose sight of your identity, you lose sight of the relationship, you lose sight of everything.
What should the husband or the father do when he begins to notice these signs or when these issues start to really present?
Mm-hmm. It's important for the man to be as patient as possible, to be aware that, the postpartum depression is real and that, you know, what to look for, some of the signs of the sadness, you know, being willing to be open and ask questions, you know, ask your partner how they're feeling. Be compassionate and, you know, don't overlook the symptoms, don't overlook the signs or put your partner down. Sometimes there's a tendency to put someone down when they may be, you know, crying or
clashing instead of supporting.
Yeah. And you're not really taking on a team approach. You're more just like, you know, you're just, when I hear someone say the words like, oh, just, you know, pull up your bootstraps, you mm-hmm. know, and get over it. You know, that's not a supportive stance. That's like, okay, you're just going through something right now. You'll get over it. And you're really not diving into and hearing what the person is or willing to have a conversation and hear what they are really going through or what they're feeling, which is very important.
For those that want to find out more about you, too, in addition to quite possibly looking into counseling services, you can be found online at therelationshipboosters.com. That is therelationshipboosters.com. Any resources that you can share with us real quick before I go to a break? Where can people look for help with their relationships, whether it's a place to read, anything online?
There is, John Gottman has a lot of books on
John Gottman
on bringing baby home, which is a good read, good resource. And also there's lots of therapists in the area. And I would encourage people to go to therapy, especially if they're having postpartum depression issues and things of that nature. Because that is a mental health condition and they can work through it together. Mm-hmm. So, I would definitely
Look to those. I need to take a break, but I want to talk to you, our listeners, about keeping the relationship together when the baby comes. And we're also going to talk about people that are parents but not married. Is that a different dynamic when the baby comes? How does a new baby impact your relationship? Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is a hot potato topic, but as I said, we are talking about it, and I definitely want to hear from you. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about babies, but not really. We're talking about how those babies are impacting the relationship for new parents. Do things change for the better or for the worse? And how do you address it? My guests are Dr. Kia James, licensed professional counselor, and Monica Ward, licensed clinical social worker, both of them with the Relationship Boosters. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Bernadette, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Bernadette. What's on your mind?
Hi. To piggyback off of what some of the callers have stated, I was married and...
Congratulations. Good for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, it was, as in, you know, that past tense. Gave birth to my children and... In both marriages, they were not supportive. It was like happy when, you know, knowing that a baby would come, but it was like, the depression came into play, in the changes that went into my body, because I no longer looked like, you know, that bride. I no longer looked like that person of original size, and it seems like, you know, that's where the attraction failed. It, you know, I on my part, it's like, you know, they no longer, the men that I was married to no longer wanted, you know, a woman with a big belly.
So how did that impact your relationship? Was that the cause of the demise of your relationship?
It was definitely a major cause of the relationship coming apart.
Well, let me see what our counselors have to say about that for women who may want to start a family with someone that they're with or that are in process and maybe going through the same thing. And thank you so much, Bernadette. How can that be fixed?
Well, you have to make sure that you have conversations beforehand, number one. And sometimes there is counseling that can be helpful with people who are assuming that certain things should happen, like you should lose weight or because in reality, like you may never, you know, get back down to the size before. And ultimately, if you're with somebody for a long time anyway, you're not going to look the same over time. Mm-hmm. So realistically, you know, you do have to have conversations to see if you're compatible, to see if things can work out or if there's something else going on. Because a lot of times we find that that's a surface issue, that, you know, talking about weight and talking about changes is a surface issue. And there's really something else underneath all of that.
Like what?
That needs to be addressed. Like the fact that they're not comfortable with some of the other things that are going on in the relationship. Sometimes they're not comfortable with the fact that maybe they don't feel like they're prioritized anymore. And so now since they're not prioritized, they're nitpicking at other stuff, or they don't feel comfortable with, you know, some of the things that are happening in the relationship. You know, so there's so many times like stuff like that is definitely not what's truly like causing them to make these statements, and it could even be something in their past history, like, you know, during their upbringing. Like, there's a lot of things that can play a role in all of that.
Yeah, it sounds like this is a communication thing. And to the point about children really changing the intimate dynamic, should a husband or the father be surprised if the mother wants to have the newborn in the bed with them? The thought of that to me makes me feel uncomfortable only because some people are wild sleepers. That is that a safe thing to do?
Yeah, the doctors are going to tell you.
Definitely not.
No. You know, and ultimately, if you put the baby in your bed, like if your bed is supposed to be a place of intimacy where you're building, like putting the baby in there really does disrupt that as well. So, you know, if you really need to have the baby in your room, it may be beneficial to have them in the crib, and really talk to each other about why you're uncomfortable with that or what your concerns are with them being distant. You know, because some people are concerned they're not going to be able to hear the baby or something's going to happen and they're not going to be there to readily respond. But being able to have those conversations and understand where each other is coming from really helps to make the decisions and really helps the couple to feel like they're actually on the same page as opposed to, like, you know, fighting against one another when those issues arise.
It's definitely a conversation that you all, it's an ongoing conversation, because as the baby changes and goes through all their developmental stages, then, you know, you're going to have to make changes in how you interact with the baby. So at some point, yes, the baby needs to go into their own bed. They need to go into their own room and graduate in that manner, because it's also going to impact your intimacy. If you have your infant right there in the room with you, you know, there's never going to be any space for you to have time together alone. You're always going to be with the baby. You're going to hear the baby cry. You're going to hear the baby, you know, probably turn, and it's going to wake you up. And so it is important to get rest too during that time. Even though new parents, and parents that have had children time and time again, that's one of the complaints, is that you don't get a whole lot of rest, and that impacts everything. Mm-hmm. It impacts how you feel. It impacts, you know, how you're feeling at work, how you interact with one another, because you may snap at each other a little more, or you may, you know, it impacts your intimacy. You're not having as much sex. So it is important to have that conversation with one another and be on, you know, take a team approach. You're on the same team. And so working towards, you know, how can we adjust the baby and move the baby out of our room and make those adjustments together, so it doesn't feel like it's a you against me type of mentality.
Is it different for parents that are married when compared to parents that are not married? Is it, what are the dangers for the single parents, the pair of single parents? I don't know how to put it. The mommy and daddy that are not married.
The mom and the dad, yeah, that they had a baby together and they still have to be on the same page as far as raising the child. And so obviously, if you have two separate households, you know, the child has to adjust to two totally separate homes, maybe different rules in each home, maybe different meal times. And so when you're talking about bringing a baby into the world and having routines, those routines may be disrupted depending on who has the baby at any given time. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's a single parent. There's single moms who are raising their kids on their own and the father is not involved. And then there's single moms who have the baby more than the father. And then there's single fathers who are, you know, want to step up and take care of their child and get custody of their child. And so there's so many different scenarios with that. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you are not nurturing some level of resentment between one another, and try to work out, you know, your differences and try to come up with, you know, a plan together on what's the best thing for the child, because that's the focus, is making sure that you're raising a healthy, happy child.
As I said in the beginning, both of you are married, Dr. Kia, two children for you, Mrs. Ward, 1 + 2, because you have a blended family, so three, yes, three kids. And I'll start with you, Dr. Kia. How did the first child change the relationship with your husband?
Well, we used to hang out together all of the time.
In the streets.
Just in the streets.
Just hanging.
Yes.
New street. Ice cream cones. Right. The whole bit. Yeah.
And when that baby came, that whole thing adjusted. So, you know, he was off. He did paternity leave, which I do recommend. so you know, but we were more focused on the baby, more focused on what was going on. And I can say that I was extremely anxious. So I was one of those people who wanted the child in the room. And he was like, you know, we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do because this can't go on forever. So, so it did, you know, it did change the dynamics. We did have to figure out how we were still going to date and how we were still going to spend time together, because it can really be extremely easy to, you know, not pay attention to one another as much because you have a whole focus, a whole additional focus. And for me, I was in school as well. So that was a whole nother dynamic. So definitely, I would say that we were not as focused on one another as we should have been probably at that time. If I could have went back on why, that's one of the things that I would have done, is maybe spent more time together. Because what happened is I realized, you know, when everything was quiet, and then, you know, I'm looking at him and he's on his phone doing something and I'm watching TV. So that's not the dynamic that we had before the baby was here. You know, we used to hang out, be talking, chatting. So we really had to revamp and get back on page with, you know, making sure that our relationship was in going in a good direction.
That, and that's what I wanted to ask. You noticed, you said things got quiet. He's, you know, he's on the phone or he's playing video games or whatever, and you're just looking at the walls. Did you, was there an aha moment where you looked at each other and other and say, what's your name again? was it that kind of thing? Was there a purposeful decision about you two trying to rekindle the wonderful that you had before you were pregnant?
We did. We talked about starting to do more things together. And because I was anxious, one of the things that we did was cruise, which Ooh, you can still okay. take. You can still take your child on a little bit and still have a good time.
You, took the child on the.
We did.
How old was the baby on the cruise?
7.
Well, that's not a baby. That's walking, talking, looking for a job age kind of.
Ooh, I'm ready for that.
So that's not, so you weren't, yeah, so 7, yeah.
During the younger ages, we definitely had a support system, like parents that helped and watched the children so we could still go out, or the child at that point, so we could still go out. But we did make a conscious decision to start doing more stuff together like we had done in the past.
Let me talk to Chico real quick. Chico, thanks for calling from Silver Spring. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Chico, then I'll go Glenda here. Yeah, we have a Sirius XM. We love it. Listen,
Chico, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead. What's your question?
I have unborn twins coming in the world soon.
Oh wow!
Plus a baby girl who came in the world December 1st of last year, and I'm trying to make ends meet and making the relationship last. From a blindness point of view, I'm visually impaired. And my wife is sighted. What do I need to do on my part to make that last? And how can I resolve that from blindness point of viewpoint? I'm trying. The baby girl is 7 months old, and the twins are not yet born yet.
When are the twins due?
Either sometime this December or sometime January or February of next year.
Okay, so you'd still have some time. Okay, so let's see what my experts have to say. There's a lot there.
Right, and so there's already some stressors that sounds like you know you've been trying to deal with, and it's probably going to take a little longer than just saying, you know, go, you know, get some professional counseling or something like that. When you say that there's, you know, you're blind, how does that impact you on a daily basis? I can only imagine that there are, you know, some resources that you probably do need to tap into to, you know, assist you with that in terms of, you know, if you need to. I'm sorry?
Yeah, because there's some. The baby girl's name is Opiano Jew, and The twins don't have names yet, but we're working on trying to get names.
Well, Chico, before we go into that, though, I think the question for you is, what is it that you believe you need in order to make things healthier between you?
I want to know if there's like training or if there's like anything that's out there, like Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind or something in the Silver Spring area or something in the somewhere around the DMV.
Well, let's see, before I go to a break, where should he look for resources that may assist not only him to make him a better father, but also to make their relationship, the relationship between he and the mother, stronger?
I mean, I would start with, you know, getting professional counseling for him and the family. His spouse, and that would definitely be, you know, the first step towards getting in to see someone and identifying, you know, what the specific problems are, the specific issues that they're dealing with and what they need to deal with first, second, third. And I think a good professional can help them with organizing that and, you know, getting things on track to where it's like, okay, let's see where you can go with
counseling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a little bit or a lot of love would not hurt.
Yes.
I'm quite sure, because she's going to need support. He's going to need support. And,
right.
And the new babies, definitely. Chico, good luck to you. And thank you so much. We're going to take a break. More about the impact of a new life on new parents. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that matching.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the impact that a child can have on the relationship of new parents. Same question for you, Mrs. Ward. I would imagine that your situation was different because, as you said, you have a blended family.
Yes.
So your husband, yeah, he already came with one.
We
right?
actually both did.
Oh, did you? Did, oh, well, how about?
Right.
Well,
right. Then, we both came with.
Well, then it had to be easy for you because you already knew what the deal was, right?
Well, you know, so yeah, my situation is definitely different because I pretty much was a single parent,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I raised my child. I had support, obviously, and still do. And that's the other thing is that you want to, you know your resources, know who your supports are, and don't be afraid to use your supports, whether you're single parent or whether you're married, first and foremost. And then my husband came along and he and his son, you know, we had to work on working as a team. So I think for me, that was the theme. It's like I'm no longer this independent woman raising my child on my own where I make all of decisions and I don't need anybody, so to speak.
No.
And, no. And that was adjustment, I think, for us, you know, just both of us knowing what's right for us independently and individually. And now what is right for us as a couple, as a married couple, and who now we have, you know, three sons, you know, because we have a 2-year-old. And so that was a big thing for us is to now it's like we're just, you know, team. That's like my big thing, working as a team, because it's so important. That's the whole point of having someone in your life and being in a relationship is, you know, you have each other's back and you should be able to rely on each other. And you're both, you know, able to be interdependent as opposed to independent.
Did the child that you and your husband have together, did that change the parenting dynamic? Because you had one, he had one, mm-hmm. and now you have one together.
Mm-hmm.
What impact did that have on your relationship, if any? Or were you, or as I said, or were you all pretty much prepackaged and prepared for what what was going to come, you say no?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Like Kia said earlier, there is no manual. You know, you can, you know, raise, you know, we both had kids. We went through that, you know, not having sleep with the newborn and raising, and we have all three boys. So yeah, maybe I had a little learning curve thing there. I knew what it took to raise another child that is now a boy. But you know, every child is different. So that's one thing, is all three of those kids have different personalities and they have different needs. And so balancing that, you know, making sure that we are nurturing their strengths, you know, and being there for all of them and not just focusing so much on just one of them. So obviously when we had a newborn, that took up a lot of our time, mm-hmm. took up a lot of our energy. But even with that, it was, you know, my husband is extremely family oriented. So that was helpful. And I am the same way. And so we really pulled together, and we were there all the time. He was there all the time. He took off for paternity leave as well. And he's just very actively, you know, on a daily basis, active in all of our kids' lives.
I met both of your husbands. Mm-hmm. And I will say that the thing that struck me about both of them is their good humor.
Mm-hmm.
And all jokes aside, what part, and I'll start with you, you know, Dr. Kia, because your husband is an absolute riot. But what part does that kind of personality, that sense of humor play in, again, bringing you two back together after you've been just focusing on a child, that new child?
It's definitely helpful because he keeps things light. He's not, you know, quick to get angry about things. And not to say that he doesn't, because he, you know.
He's a man. That's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm. But he can definitely back up and have good conversations and keep it light, you know. And he does use humor from time to time, and that does break the ice, like if there is tension. So, and we can use that to kind of bounce back and continue to have dialogue and move forward. Mm-hmm. So,
and same question, Mrs. Ward, because yes, you said your husband is family oriented, but he's also funny.
Yes,
and and I would say that keeping you happy, laughing, keeping the kids happy, laughing has got to be an important part of keeping the family and the relationship solid.
Definitely. Lots of laughter. You know, and that the feeling of being connected with one another, I think laughter helps with that, you know, helping you to feel like you are connected, that, you know, it's not always going to be stressful, that there are times where you can just sit back and laugh at yourself, because we don't always get everything right. You know, we're going to make mistakes, but to be able to laugh through that is so important. And, you know, we have good sense of humor, too. So.
Oh, yeah. That's very true. Oh, boy. My stomach's hurting now. But during this conversation, I know we focused a lot on, you know, the downside of if you can call it a downside, of the impact of children on the relationship. But talk to me in these last few minutes about the good stuff when you have that baby, because we don't want to end on a down note. And for those young parents that are pregnant out there and wondering, what are we going to do when the baby comes? Talk a little bit about the good stuff.
Well, you know, It's nice to have an addition to your family, someone who, of course, is going to have personality traits from the both of you.
Oh, boy.
You know, and even with the children, like, they laugh and joke with us as well. You can get to see them grow. You get to see them, you know, do new things, which is exciting. You get to teach someone something new together, and even as individuals. So I think that there's a lot of positivity in that.
Experiencing those things together. I mean, that's probably better than King's Dominion together, right?
I don't know about King's.
Well, you did say that you and your husband did a whole lot of hanging out, you know, beforehand. So I'm sure King's Dominion was, you know, was part of that. But yeah, I would imagine, and I would say, yeah, having children, it's almost like a new toy.
Mm-hmm.
real quick, I mean, your memories from the child that you and your husband, you know, had together. I'm sure it was a special moment, not just for the family, but for you two as husband and wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's neat to see, you know, how he looks a lot. People say he looks a lot like my husband. But
that's
then,
a good thing.
Yeah, he's uh-huh. good. I think he's cute. but then there's times I look at him, I'm just like, oh wow, he looks just like my father, or he looks, you know, like I can see my side too in him, and just his, you know, it's nothing really like the love of a child. You know, it's like that unconditional, like you can do no wrong, you know, kind of love. And so that's what I would say is definitely a positive. It's,
Before I wrap up, give me the quick rundown on relationship boosters and the focus of your practice. Why relationships? Why not something else?
Honestly, we got thrown into relationships.
You got thrown into it.
Because we did therapy for years, and we just noticed that we saw a lot of people coming, and it was like we were doing relationship counseling for one. And so we just started to enhance our skills and learn more about couples and really focus in on trying to help couples build strong relationships. And then both of us are, you know, married as well. And so we like to see people thrive in their relationships, and that's really important for us. Like, we are all about building strong communities, and we think that that comes from strong individuals and strong families and, you know, strong couples. So we definitely are all about that.
Do you have individual focuses, or for example, do you work on fighting, and you work on, you know, getting the mojo back, or what?
Actually, we work on all of it. So we look at all the important components to making relationships work. We work with people on building their intimacy. We work with them on building their friendship. We work with them on conflict. You know, if they're having issues with communication and having, you know, conflict in their relationship, we work with them on improving their sex life. So we work with couples on all of those aspects because all of that is important. And when we talk about building strong relationships, you have to look at the whole picture, not just, you know, one, you know, aspect.
And I would imagine that it's not just when the babies first come, mm-hmm. but it's when they're 7 mm-hmm. and 17.
Yeah.
It is a continuous process.
Definitely.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and giving us some insight into not only, you know, your married and parental lives and giving some good information for those folks who are still kind of struggling with it. And certainly if you are out there, if you and your mate are pregnant, if you're expecting, or you have a new life, or you're even thinking about starting a family, you can find these ladies online, therelationshipboosters.com. And of course, if you're just coming in during the last part of this conversation, you can always hear it all on WHUR.com. Dr. Kia James, Monica Ward, thank you both for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, August 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.